Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Well, one of the worst fish kills in recent years could be happening right now in the River Blackwater in Munster. Almost a week ago, scores of dead fish were reported in the river, and since then, it's estimated that tens of thousands of fish could be impacted. Some local people say the response to the incident hasn't been quick enough, and a week on, we still don't know precisely what has caused it. Well, Brian O'Connell was on the River Blackwater for us yesterday, and he joins me now. Hello, Brian.
Morning, Claire.
So what did you see there?
Well, just past the bridge in Mallow, I walked down to the riverbank. It's really a beautifully scenic area with Mallow Castle on one side as the Munster Blackwater or the River Blackwater meanders on through. It goes to Fermoy and it enters the sea at Youghal, having begun its life in Kerry. But the closer you get to the water's edge, this scene really turns into a nightmare because I could see multiple fish in the water with large blotches of discoloration on their backs and they were pretty much lifeless. A number of locals at the time were walking along the bank and dead fish were actually accumulating just at the water's edge, still almost a week on from the initial incident. John Ruby is chairman of Mallow Trout Anglers, and as we stood beside the river, Claire, as I said, I could see diseased fish in the water just a few feet away.
We're looking here at fish that are dying slowly, wiggling, just lying, sitting there in the water waiting to die. There's one, two, three, right in front of us there. As you can see, the discoloration on them and the lack of movement, they're just basically waiting to die. Here we are 7 days into this incident and it's still ongoing.
We can see on the fish, looking at them, there's kind of white marks or speckled marks on them, and this is possibly some type of fungus, we think.
That's what IFI have told us from the beginning. It just seems to spread from fish to fish. We're still waiting for answers.
We should set in context, I mean, the Blackwater here is probably one of our most important fisheries, really.
It is. It covers a huge catchment area. These are wild fish. If you were to come this close to a healthy wild fish, he'd be gone. He wouldn't be sitting around. A lot of these fish can't even see us. Their eyes are starting to glare over white covering on them, and
have you ever seen anything like this?
Never. We have plenty of older generational anglers in the club and none of them have ever experienced anything like this. Catastrophic is the word that's on the top of the list.
And you didn't notice anything in the past few weeks, did you?
There was people on the river, even fishing here last Sunday, that didn't see anything wrong. And Monday morning, one of the guys walking his dog, who is an angler, noticed dead fish popping up just from walking along the bank of the river. And it's just exploded and since then and spread so far down the river. It's travelling over 30 kilometres of water now.
What are the questions that need to be answered?
What we really need to find out is what the main cause is. And until the toxicology reports come back, nobody knows. We've just come up the riverbank, 20 feet away from where we are, and here is a pod of fish, dead, rotting and decaying away inside in the river.
Do we have an idea, or is it hard to estimate how many fish might be impacted so far?
We gave a comfortable guesstimate at 20,000, but one of the lads done the maths, he's better at maths than me, and he was looking at over 45,000, no problem.
Gosh, you get a real sense there, Brian, of the dying fish in the river, but also the dead fish, as John described there, along the riverbank a week on from the first reports. And it's not simply a matter now of restocking the Blackwater. There's an awful lot more to this, isn't there?
Absolutely. I mean, there is a policy of not simply bringing stock into a river, but of allowing the river replenish naturally. But in a case like this, where many different species are being hit, it could take many years, unfortunately, for stock levels to recover. One of those who I met who's devastated, not only personally, but professionally by this, is Conor Arnold. He's a fly casting instructor. He's an angling guide. He actually owns a fishery, as well as being chair of Killavullen Angling Club.
I know we're still unaware to the source of the problem, and we are awaiting tests Again, we're a week into this and we're none the wiser. And the fish, as you can see, are still dying.
And there's talk that maybe the water is warm, that, you know, that there's a myriad of factors that might have led to this.
There's no doubt we're at a low level. The water temperatures are quite warm. However, there's a definite starting point. 1 mile upstream of where we were recovering dead fish, the same temperatures. Conditions are exactly the same 1 mile upstream, and yet the fish are healthy.
What impact is this? Obviously, it has an impact for you personally, but in terms of the wider area, what impact is this likely to have?
We don't quite know at the moment, but from the fish that we recovered out of the river on Thursday night, there's a complete mix. So all species of fish are affected. We had tiny fish like stickleback. We had trout parr. We had salmon parr. Salmon are an endangered species. They're a red listed species. There was eels recovered. They're an endangered species. We had coarse fish, roach and dace recovered from the river. And it would be acknowledged that they are probably far more tolerant than salmonids to high temperatures and tough conditions. So from an ecological standpoint, the whole river was affected, as well as predators. We saw last night here in town outside John's house, a cormorant struggling, flapping around the street. They're very wily predators. They don't come anywhere near man normally. It's completely abstract behavior for a bird like that. I am not in the business of accusing anyone off the cuff. We do need every possibility to be investigated to find out the source of this. We cannot dismiss anything at the moment. So if a fish is stressed or infected with something, fungal infections like saprolegnia are generally a secondary infection. So it, as the fish are taking a number of days to die, this fungus gets a hold and it becomes mm-hmm. obvious, like
we
what
can
you can see
it
in front of you.
Here, yeah.
But it may not be the primary cause. We need help. Whether it's from the IFI or the EPA or the County Council or anyone, we need help. We do not know what it is. We do not know the extent of it. We do not know how far down the river it is affecting everything. As it stands, I'm closed. I'm closed for the rest of the season. I can't see myself opening up again this season. The implications of a fish kill like this means that not next year, because this year's smolt have already gone out, but 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line, whatever juvenile salmon were in this stretch will not be coming back, which basically means that I have nothing to fish for.
That's a huge impact on Conor Arnold there and also the wider area. Now, Timmy Dooley, I know Minister Timmy Dooley visited there last night. We're going to speak to him shortly, Brian, but you put several questions to the various authorities who were involved in all of this.
Well, Inland Fisheries Ireland initially last week had estimated 1,000 brown trout were impacted. Last night in a statement, they are now saying between 8 and 10,000 wild fish, mainly brown trout again, have been killed. This is on a stretch of 18 kilometres of the river. They say the Marine Institute, which is the authority for fish health in Ireland, did conduct diagnostic sampling of the fish on the 14th of August. So about 20 days it'll take for those results to come back. They say disease outbreaks can occur in wild fish populations. They say there's no evidence of a polluting or harmful discharge which has been detected to date. And on that then, I got in touch with the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. They inspected industrial sites on the same day when this issue was notified. Their investigations are obviously ongoing, but they say in preliminary sample results indicate there is no causal link between the fish kill and discharges from any EPA licensed sites. So the Cork County Council as well are involved in liaising between both authorities on this.
All right, so it still seems to be a mystery. Brian, thanks very much for bringing us that report. As I said, Timmy Dooley is with us, Minister of State at the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine. And I know, Timmy, you were there last night, weren't you, at the site of the fish kill?
Yeah, good morning, Claire. I was, yeah. I had an opportunity to visit there with Minister Moynihan and Deputy Porrigo Sullivan. And we did. We met with the fishermen, and as you've heard from the two that Brian interviewed, they're extremely concerned and upset. And, you know, in the first instance, these are people who've been custodians of the River Blackwater for generations. And they're really concerned at the scale of what has happened here. There is a level of frustration, and I understand it from their perspective, because there isn't an immediate set of answers to their, you know, very genuine questions. But I have been in touch, obviously, with IFI And have been last week and again this week. And their senior environmental officer has been carrying out or heading up an investigation that, as Brian has rightly identified, has involved Irish Water, the EPA and Cork County Council. And all the preliminary data capture would indicate that there isn't or certainly no evidence of pollution or harmful discharges, you know, that have been detected. And, you know, the fishermen would have said to me last night, the anglers would have said, you know, they have seen events before where there has been discharges, where it's been confined to much shorter stretches of the river, and everything is wiped out in a short area. But the level and the scale of this certainly is unprecedented. Well, so what we now need to move to, and that's why the Marine Institute are playing a really important role here.
It's the pace of it, though, Timmy. I know you've referred to this in what you've already said, but when these questions are not answered and the local people are seeing this, you know, over the last number of days into weeks, and they're still waiting for someone to tell them what has happened. You can understand that frustration. Is there anything you can do to move this along so that they know what's happened?
Completely, I understand the frustration, but when it comes to the sampling that's done by the Marine Institute, it has to go through a particular process. My understanding is that by the 28th of August, there will be preliminary results based on the diagnostic work that they're doing on the samples taken from tissue, from various organs of the dead fish, and some smear samples. It'll take an additional 2 weeks to go through the scientific process that will lead to more definitive results. But by the 28th of August, we'll hopefully have some clear indication. And the IFI have identified their, you know, potential concerns around this fungal infection, that where trout or fish generally are in a stress state, and the stress state may come from the low water levels, the increased temperatures. I think on the Saturday, temperature of the water was close to 20 degrees. Now, I'm no expert in this area, but I understand that when you go to 22 or 23 degrees, it effectively leads to the death of trout for a period of time at that level. So it was very close to that temperature that could be fatal for fish.
So that's what it could be. It could be the rising temperature of the water.
Potentially, it could be the rising temperature. It could also then take that together with wild fish who are tend to be more prone to disease, taking into account then that there's been potentially reduced oxygen levels in the water as a result of maybe enrichment of nutrients in the water over a prolonged period of time. All of these are potential reasons, but until we have the definitive work done by the Marine Institute, which is effectively doing the analysis of the dead fish, doing the diagnostics, post-mortem on the fish.
Okay, so that and that's coming in about nine or ten days' time.
By the 28th of August, we're hoping to have the preliminary results. It'll take another 2 weeks, I understand, after that to have definitive results. But what I do want, and based on the conversations that I'd had with the anglers yesterday evening, I have asked the senior people within the IFI this morning to engage more fully in terms of the communication of what's going on, because I think the issue for everybody here, the IFI, the Marine Institute and everyone, have been working really hard on the investigation phase. I think the piece maybe that has drifted a little bit is the communication piece between the agency and the anglers, who are, you know, these are people whose lives and livelihoods depend on it. Their recreational, their sporting endeavours depend on it. As I said from the start, they are the custodians of these fisheries.
Yes, so it's the information
need. It's the information flow, and I think that's the piece that I've been working on overnight and this morning to try and improve that from their perspective.
All right. Well, Timmy, just before you go, you'll know, I'm sure, that it's all go in Fine Gael this morning. Heather Humphreys and Sean Kelly both seeking a nomination to be the party's next presidential candidate. Now, Billy Kelleher, your own colleague in Fianna Fáil, he seems to be very frustrated at what's not happening in Fianna Fáil, and he wants there to be a meeting, an urgent meeting of the parliamentary party to discuss the presidential election. Do you agree with him? It's a bit slow to start. We don't know who. Nobody's putting their hand up in Fianna Fáil.
Well, as you said, it's all going Fine Gael again this morning, but it was all go a couple of weeks ago as well, or maybe a month ago, and they're back to a point where they're back at the starting gates. Look, the Taoiseach has made it very clear during the course of the summer that by the end of the summer holiday period, he would like outline Fianna Fáil's strategy on the presidential election. So a little bit surprised at Billy's intervention at this stage. Good friend of mine, and no, I mean, perhaps he's frustrated. But I think if we go back to what the Taoiseach has said a little while ago, that you know the intention was to have a decision and an outline of the party strategy. And I think we'll afford him that time.
When you've Noel McCarthy, Fine Gael TD for Cork East, supporting Sean Kelly this morning, saying, "Isn't it great now we have two people in Fine Gael willing to put their heads above the parapet and say, well, I'll go for that very important role," and no sign of anyone in Fianna Fáil doing the same.
But with respect, Claire, and it's not for me to decide what Fine Gael do, they had a strategy a number of weeks ago. They're now back to the starting blocks again. The Taoiseach has clearly indicated that he will outline his strategy, the party strategy, and I think as party leader, I'm certainly going to be prepared to give him the time and space to do that. To follow through on what he had indicated, that by the end of the summer holiday season that he would engage with the parliamentary party and set out the stall. I think he has had a very significant track record in his election strategies.
So you tell Billy Kelleher not to be worrying, that it'll all happen in its own good time.
I won't be telling Billy anything. We'll meet as we regularly do, and we'll discuss it over a pint.
All right, thank you so much. That's Timmy Dooley there, Minister of State. Coming up next, we're going to Graceland.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.